Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 196. Lynn's and Derek here today, all by ourselves.
All by myself.
We got into a great indie comic called Psychosis. We urge you guys to check it out.
It is really pretty cool. We'll give you all the info on it. We talked a lot about credit cards and how Marvel and Symphony Bank are the devil.
Yes, we got a little ranty in this episode.
It was a very ranty episode.
Yes, we talked about the whitewashing of non-white characters in Hollywood.
We talked about Killing Joke and its R rating and how freaking sweet that is going to be.
And we watched, well, we didn't watch it, but we urge you to watch the Guardians trailer for some great Russian superheroes.
Giant Russian bear man.
Yes.
We also had a booze in a book pairing of Moon Knight number one with Jeff Lemire with a shot of White Lightning.
Yes. So sit back, relax, and listen to Drunk on Comics, episode 196. If we didn't offend you, you weren't really listening.
Butterfly in the office is all that you need to be distracted for,
you know,
for eternity.
It doesn't take much to entertain me. This will do it for a couple hours.
It is a pretty crazy invention, though. Like, I think it's just like a wire that makes the butterfly move around, but I don't know how. Magic.
That's what it is. It's definitely magic.
Black voodoo, hoodoo, magic.
Oh.
So, see? Gonna scare you. It's just gonna keep doing weird things.
It's so awesome. Oh my god, it's like it's alive.
And he's sitting in a mason jar, which is super classy.
Yeah. Well, you know. That is so cool. It's
quality audio, just staring at a fake butterfly for 2 minutes. So what did you do this weekend? Anything fun?
No. Well, that's not true. I mean, I did normal lifey grown up stuff.
That is not cool at all.
Like shopping and...
Apparently all the rage was to be in Toledo for Fantastic Con.
Yes,
and missed out.
Yes. Toledo is the place to be if you want to witness the epic karaoke battle. I know. We have awesome karaoke after most cons that we attend.
Toledo is apparently the karaoke.
The epicenter. They have the battle, the karaoke battle every year between... What is it?
I think it's
Satellite
Clit and Forbidden Taint.
Yes.
Such classy names. And I always loved how when they showed like the after party posters, they edit it to like
yes.
Forbidden Saint and Satellite Kilt.
Yes. It's Forbidden Saint and Satellite Kilt. Yes.
Yes.
I like the other ones better.
Me too, but I guess if you're going to put a poster up somewhere, you don't want to put just horrendously offensive things.
That's true. For a Comic-Con, usually there's kids there. It's one of those things that's like, Mom, what does clit mean?
Yep. Although I've seen some weird adult shit at Comic-Con.
That's true.
The kids should not be looking at it. Like, see some like 6-year-old like, ooh, Lady Death. All right, here we go.
Mommy, why are her boobs almost out? It's just a costume, sweetie. It's okay.
He's got that like anime armor thing going on. Like, less is more.
But supposedly Dirk Manning and Dan Doherty won the epic karaoke battle last night.
Don't they win every year?
Yeah,
talk trash.
Yeah.
I did see a championship belt, which is pretty excellent.
Yes. So congratulations to them for saying that they won the battle.
I'm sure it was self-designated that they won.
They bought themselves a belt, most likely.
I was going to do that for fantasy football this year. No one would buy a trophy, and I won. So I want a championship belt that I can wave around at people. I don't know what I'd do with it, but they make them, and I feel like I should own one. So...
So what'd you do?
Babysat and went over to Matt's last night and we drank beers and made dirty bastard brats since we
nice.
Didn't go to Black Party, but it was a good time.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See, that's another very adult way to hang out.
His kid kept climbing on me like I was a jungle gym.
Yeah, I could see that.
That's kind of what he does.
You're wiry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, apparently. Didn't ask, just started jumping and climbing on me.
You know, the opportunity presents itself.
his baby daughter put baked beans on me. Yeah. So that was pretty sweet. So yeah. It was all around good Saturday.
You got the full kid experience yesterday.
I did. I babysat. I got food thrown on me. I got poop on my shirt. It was something.
So you're good for a while now.
Yeah, that was the ultimate in birth control. It was babysitting someone else's children. Yeah. And being around them all day.
It's so true.
Oh, man. Something special.
All right, so if you couldn't tell by now, it's just Derek and me today.
Yeah, everyone hates us and abandoned us. Adam and Tony are both at weddings. Matt is doing parenting things. Yes. So...
is Tony at a wedding? I thought this was just the
It might just be a bachelor party, which seems more Tony style. Epic. I'm sure he's not even awake yet, and it is pretty much noon.
Yeah.
So
if he's not dead somewhere.
He could be in a gutter. That would not surprise me in the least, knowing Tony.
So we're holding it down. We're the responsible ones.
Sometimes you have to adult.
Yes. Yes.
A majestic day outside.
It is. It is beautiful. We went from crappy winter last weekend to...
amazing.
Midsummer weather.
All
this
once.
Weekend. So, yay Michigan.
That is what is the best about this state. You blink, the weather changes, and yeah, you're always surprised. You never know. You could wake up one day and it'd be 80 degrees and then go inside, come out 2 hours later, and it's snowing.
It's true. It's true, which is why... half of Michigan is always sick all the time.
Mm-hmm. I'm fairly convinced Canada just hates us and shoves all their cold air at us just as a joke. So.
It's true. I wouldn't be, I guess I can't say that it's true, but I wouldn't be surprised.
If that were the case, yeah.
I don't know any facts about Canada and their ability to shove weather.
All I know about Canada is what Jay tells me, so he could have just been lying to me for like the last 2 years and I wouldn't know, like...
seems legit. He sounds like he'd want to pump up Canada a little bit.
Yeah, he is good at that.
He has some national
positive
pride. Yeah. But we can't talk shit too much about Canada because the book we're reviewing this week is from Canada.
Oh, the Canadians.
Yes. So one of the perks of doing this podcast is we get to read comics that you wouldn't necessarily find in your comic book store, including great indie comics from Canada.
It's kind of nice. People just send us stuff and say, hey, review this. And we're like, yes, we will, because you are cool and you like giving us things and we will be awesome and help you out in that case.
Oh my gosh. We love promoting indie comics.
And we've been doing a lot of that lately. Yes. Which is awesome.
It's where it's at, really. I mean, anyone can go to the comic book store and pick up Marvel and DC stuff.
It's true. Sometimes you gotta find like the diamond in the rough that you may have never heard of. Like, I have never heard of Outpouring Comics before.
Me neither. I'm assuming it's Canadian. We didn't...
you know, I kind of pulled it up and then stopped looking.
we didn't research it too much.
We kind of sucked that way, but let's see. Let's see where they locate.
It could just be a sweet little indie publisher that we've never heard about. They could be pure Canadian. Who knows?
It doesn't really say where they are, but hey, you guys are cool. We'll just say you're Canadian.
Yes. So the comic that we're reviewing today is Psychosis, and this is volume one, so it's actually issues 1 and 2 of the comic book.
This comic, I feel like, I don't know much about like Canadian comics, but is everyone from Canada just kind of crazy? Like, all the Canadian like superhero type people that come out of Canada... like Deadpool, Wolverine, Psychosis.
Yeah, they're all little nutters.
Yes, they are.
I think it has something to do with, you know, the dichotomy in their weather, too.
Could be.
It just drives everybody crazy. So, Psychosis takes place in the future after the Great Purge, which is when a ton of people die. Something happens. I wish I could remember exactly. I don't think they really get into that.
They don't really say
much.
What exactly happened, but everyone started like mutating afterwards. Mm-hmm. And
yep. A third of the population died off, and it was known in history books as the Great Purge. And then people started mutating after that, turning it into, you know, the X-Men, essentially.
And then the mutants took over the world.
Yes.
And the humans are left as the minority now.
Yes. And so we have our main character here, who is, well, Psychosis, but he's got an actual name. It's Victor. Yes. And it starts with very sad little state of affairs. He gets dropped off just somewhere in a basket. He's an abandoned baby.
Apparently, yeah, being a human child is just not cool enough.
Nope.
So they dumped him.
Yes. Super sad. Poor little baby. But he gets taken in. It looks like they knew where to drop him, because it's almost immediate that he gets dropped off. But, so he gets raised in this foster care home, orphanage, I'm not quite sure what it is, with all these other normal adult children? That's normal not what humans, I meant to yes, say. Non-mutants. Human children. But then it skips forward to him on a mission. Well, I assume it's him, because they don't really say. But he's in costume, and right at the beginning, he makes the statement that he just really loves killing people.
He's kind of got that, like, Wolverine... No, I mean, like, Deadpool meets, like, the cyborg ninja from Metal Gear
kind of thing. Or, like, Ninjax?
Yes.
A little bit? Yes.
Good old Valiant.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, for sure. And he's really, like, you can tell he's on a mission for good, or at least he thinks so, but he's not above
chopping stabbing people
some,
in the face.
Yeah, chopping some heads off along the way. So you find out after he kills a bunch of people that he's going after kids that are there.
Experimented on, yes. I believe, in the genetics lab.
I can't tell whether they were already mutant, because one of them was. Or if they were attempting to turn normal children into mutants. We're saying mutants, like, that's what they are. They're just evolved.
Yes.
I think the X-Men has a block on mutants.
Yeah, you cannot say mutant.
But
they're different people.
So he saves them after killing a bunch of people. And one of them sacrifices themselves to save him using their new... Old? Who knows? Mutant abilities. New evolved ability? I don't know. I'm just going to say mutants because I don't care.
Yep. You can sue us later, Marvel. That's fine.
And he's you know, he's really sad about it. So obviously he's not just a crazy, like, psychotic killer. He has feelings.
Not all the time, at least.
Right. So that's the first issue. So the first issue kind of just sets up the whole story, or not even sets up the whole story. It kind of gives you an insight into
the background of, I mean, a little bit of the background of the character and how he operates.
Yeah.
And yeah, I do like the black and white aspect of this book.
I do too.
It's nice when you see all the, like, violence happening. There's not super over the top. I really like the thick, bold lines that are drawn for all the characters.
Yes.
So
it's super detailed, but the fact that it's black and white, because there probably is a lot of blood being spilled in this, it makes it less, I think, gory.
So it's a very nice work, David Coates,
yes.
on that.
Yes.
And the writing is also very interesting. So good job, Adam Atkinson. I really appreciated the frame with him about to fall through the air vent and just seeing the pile of poop thought in his head. That made me laugh out loud.
That made me laugh too. And it was I was definitely like, okay, this is, you can see their influences with that, because that is a little Deadpool-y.
Yep.
aspect there. Without, and I want to specify that you can tell it's an influence, but this is definitely not a ripoff of Deadpool, because in the next issue you learn that Victor is essentially battling his internal psycho.
Yes. He has, like, a split personality, like, dissociative identity disorder yes. thing going, and he has to try to fight to corral the inner, I guess, crazy demon, we could
yeah,
say.
Yeah, the inner Patrick Bateman.
Yes.
Yeah. So whereas Deadpool is just crazy and likes killing no matter what internal monologue he's going with, this guy, Victor, when he's normal, not the violent type.
But then he goes all Tyler Durden.
Yes, exactly. Oh my God,
there we go.
There we go. It's one perfect. That was perfect. So the second issue really sets up, like, the organization that he's working for. You find out that he's kind of, like, the leader. But it also really gets into that split personality and how much...
He's struggling with trying yes. to maintain control because he thinks only he can do everything himself and not give in to his psychosis side.
Right, which everybody else kind of thinks that maybe...
they kind of need each other.
Yeah, yeah, because, it seems like maybe he is... Well, the way they set it up in the beginning, with the way his second personality pops up when he kind of just flips the switch when he's getting picked on by that kid when he's younger, and something happens and he just starts beating the shit out of him.
Yep.
So it's very clear that by himself, he doesn't have that strength to be violent. And it sounds like he needs a little bit of violence to get where he's going in this story.
He's the conscience, or his conscience, and the psychosis side is his hyper-violent, crazy side.
They need to balance each other out a little
bit. I really like the lettering for, like, the psychosis side, too. It's, like, big, capital, like, weird letters. It's great.
Yeah. You,
like, see, like, that almost, like, how Carnage is lettered, the craziness to
it. Oh, yeah, so. For sure. So he's trained under this martial artist.
Very stereotypical Asian.
Yeah, a little kung fu-ish. Yeah. And it seems like he's trying to teach him to balance each other out, because halfway through their training, he switches to his violent side, and Victor takes control at the end and decides he doesn't want to, like, use that part of him anymore, and his sensei was like, no, you gotta...
You probably should.
You gotta embrace both. He's probably pretty much saying, you by yourself are kind of a pussy.
Yeah.
You need this other person inside of you to get shit done. But the other person inside of you is uncontrollable. So you need
to learn to channel your anger, essentially, is what they're saying. So
do a little Bruce Banner Hulk thing going on here. Oh, man. So many influence. It's like if Deadpool were the Hulk.
And Patrick Bateman and Tyler Durden.
So at the end of this, there's something happening in Las Vegas. It's very, people are getting stoned, not stoned like in the good way, like stoned rocks
getting being rocks thrown stones, at them. Yes.
and they're going to head off to stop it. I don't know exactly what is going on because this is the end of volume one, except for the piece that you're looking at right now, the little after. I'm not even sure what this is. Like, it's an additional story or who this character is, but I actually really liked this part. So it just shows this guy talking to himself about being alone, and he fixes a swing and he starts swinging on it, and you're like, oh, I wonder if this is Victor. It's not.
Nope, it's like a half-dead Two-Face. It's like rough face and rougher face.
Yes, and the city is on fire behind him. So I don't know if this is like during the purge.
After. Sometimes you just want to watch the world burn, I guess.
Yeah. So, I would like to know. Maybe, and I'll get a hold of him and see if we can talk to him a little bit about this. But I would love to know exactly what
is actually happening.
And if it is important to the story as a whole, or if it's just another piece that gives you a better feeling of the world they're living in, or what. But this is really good.
Yeah, it was a really cool book. I enjoyed it. I like the idea of a crazy, like, ninja personality that takes over and murders people. So it's a sweet concept, a little bit different from the usual, like, Deadpool just being crazy. Split personalities work, and you don't see a ton of that.
Not really. It's nice, because looking at the concept of this, you can easily be like, oh, this is just another
Deadpool knockoff.
Mercenary
oh, well.
Deadpool knockoff. But it's definitely not that. It's way more. So, good job, Adam Atkinson and David Coates. You guys really got a solid story going on here. If you guys want to pick it up, head over to outpouringcomics.com. You can, I think, buy it directly from there.
You can also get it on Drive-Thru Comics in digital form, or on Store Envy for print comics.
Right.
So you've got choices galore. You can follow them on Twitter at Psychosis Comic 1.
Check
it
out.
Enjoy it. You will not be disappointed.
Speaking of needless violence, I went and saw Hardcore Henry this week.
Did you puke like most people
did not.
Said they were going to?
I did not. I felt like maybe I was getting a little nauseous a little bit into the movie, because it is very...
I don't know if I could handle a movie filmed on a GoPro.
Yeah. It's, it was good. It was 100% like you were watching a video game being played. 100%.
Really?
100%. Down to...
I heard it wasn't a whole lot of plot, just a lot of, like, crazy one action scene after another.
They set it up at the beginning, like, they very much do in a video game with, like, a cutscene, so you kind of know what's going on. And then the rest of it is, like, you trying to get from one place to another. And he literally, like, he would pick up weapons whenever one was dropped. Like, he was going through a level finding better weapons. Every time a better one came up, he would grab it. He had to recharge himself, because I don't know if anybody knows exactly, but he's not fully human. I guess everybody can gather that.
Yeah, the trailer kind of showed that he was, like, robotish.
So he has to recharge. So there's that. And then, like, you got the, there's a boss battle at the end that is, like, a multi-level boss battle, you know, where you think you're done and then...
Nope.
Another whole boss fight coming up after that.
Charlton Copley plays, like, 8 characters in that, too.
He plays the same character. Different personalities.
Gotcha.
Without giving too much away. It was actually pretty good. I would suggest watching it if you don't suffer from motion sickness.
Otherwise, take your Dramamine and hope for the best.
Yes, yes. I've seen... There's movies I've watched that have affected me worse. Then there's a movie I watched that's called Enter the Void that they do a first person thing too, but this, in that movie, they're like flying over the city and there's a lot of spinning, and I felt like I was gonna throw up after that one. And this one,
Cloverfield, kind of got me nauseous when I watched it. I don't know, I feel like the older I get, the more like motion sick I get from things, which is really weird. I used to just be like, ah, screw it, I'm good. But now I'm gonna be like, I'm gonna barf.
Yeah.
Like, I look out a plane window now, I'm like, not good. Not good at all.
And you definitely don't want to, like, drink before you go see this movie, because if you are prone to motion sickness, and then you also have booze in you, then you probably will throw up.
I will wait for it to come out on video.
There you go. On a smaller screen. I can handle it's more manageable, screen. Yeah. So, it was awesome. Everybody go see it if you're into that kind of stuff.
Did you need mindless action in first person?
Lots of violence, first person, if you don't have severe motion sickness. Go check it out.
It's a lot of caveats to be able to go see this movie, but I'm okay with it.
But there's another awesome movie coming out soon. I don't know if we'll get it in the United States at the theater, but I would assume eventually we would get it on DVD.
The trailer for this is the most amazing thing ever.
Yes.
Guardians, the Russian superhero movie.
Oh my god.
I love, thank you, Russia, for making something this ridiculous. Basically, during the Cold War, they augmented DNA of 4 individuals to defend the homeland, and then the Soviet Union fell, and then they kind of went into hiding. But something is bringing them back.
Yes. So this is definitely... Okay, so they're defending the homeland, so they were definitely pro-communist superheroes. I don't know if this is a Russian propaganda movie saying, hail the motherland, or if it is a... the motherland forgot about us, and now we're fighting against them type of movie.
Don't worry, there's a giant bear guy.
Yes.
Which is really all you need in a Russian movie. Like, yes. Pretty much every Russian superhero anything has a giant bear guy, like Ursa Major.
Yes, so it looks amazing, so you guys should check out the trailer online.
Special effects are pretty sweet.
It is, and I thought about it, and I was like, wow, Russia made a pretty legit movie. You don't tie those two things together, but... Night Watch and Day Watch came out of Russia, and those were pretty good movies. But, yes, everybody go online and check out this trailer. It's amazing.
It opens in 2017, so they have time to even polish it up more, but the special effects look sweet. Yeah,
the bear guy, the literal, I mean, it really is. He
has a bear head and looks like a giant lumberjack outside of that, so... really all I need to go see a movie. You just show me 2 hours of a giant bear head guy and I'd be perfectly fine. So
my only complaint about this trailer was their voiceover guy sucks.
Well, it was in Russian.
I know, but you would think that
maybe that's like the Russian standard. You don't have the in a world where a giant bear faced man fights through the lumberjack forest.
That's amazing. You should translate it for them.
I should just, using, like, refract my own in a world.
Awesome. So, it was, I mean, I don't know how much of nerdy news that is, but I had to fucking share it because it was awesome as shit.
I should probably put that up on the website here, and then I'll share it to everybody so you can see the Russian bareface man.
Yes, everybody, check it out. More nerd news, if you guys... as nerds are feeling like you're left out in the specialized credit card game, you can now get a credit card that features your favorite Marvel superheroes or just Marvel shit in general. which will lead us into our next segment here, which is Finance with Derek.
Yay! So this is a wonderfully niche card from Synchrony Bank, which I will mention is typically the bank that puts out the terrible cards to take advantage of people, like all the in-store cards for like GameStop and all that. So they're really good at targeting the nerd. But they'd also have an Amazon card. They do a lot of store cards. They put out this Marvel.com like store card, but it's also it's a MasterCard. So you get 3% cash back on purchases at Marvel.com. How many people buy things at Marvel.com on a regular basis?
I can't imagine that anybody
actually know Marvel.com had a store, much less the need for a credit card.
Right?
This really bothers me because, yes, you do get 1% cash back on any purchase made with the card, but there are so many better cards out there for rewards in this case. Pretty much every bank offers a rewards card that'll have some targeted thing that'll get you more cash back than 3% at Marvel.com.
Right.
Like, if it's so important to you to have a Marvel character on your card, just draw one on it. I don't understand a need for a Marvel.com store card. Who the hell spends so much money that 3% cash back there is great? Get an Amazon card. You can get 3% cash back in Amazon and buy every fucking Marvel thing in the entire universe they have on Amazon. Then it's a Marvel and a DC card. And you know what? It gives you 1% cash back everywhere anyways and 2% on gas. So why not just have that versus one that has a Marvel character on it? You're going to feel really cool buying stuff at a comic book shop. You want your comic book person to go, oh, you got Spider-Man on your card. Holy shit. That's amazing. No. But if you really need that Captain America shield on your card, you can go to MarvelMasterCard.com and fill out an application. I'm sure they'll take advantage of you. I don't see anything about an annual fee, but now I really want to know. So let's see if I can trash them on that, too.
This is the best rant I've ever heard you do. You're very passionate about finance.
You also get a $25 statement credit after you make your first purchase. But there are a lot of cards that give you a lot more than that. So be aware of that. 10% off merchandise purchases at MarvelShop.com every day. No, not that good anyways. You get special discounts on Marvel Unlimited or Marvel Digital Comics.
Oh.
There's 5 different pictures you can get, too. Doesn't say anything about an annual fee, so I'm okay with that. So they're not.
It's probably in the fine print somewhere.
It might not, but I'm sorry. I don't see any sort of need for this card when there are so many better choices out there for you. Just go to creditcards.com, take a look, and find something that doesn't suck like this card. But hey, you can get Iron Man shooting an arc reactor out of your EMV-enabled chip. That's pretty cool.
So this is not recommended by Drunk on Comics, specifically Derek.
Nope.
If you guys want to hop on board the Marvel.com credit card train, go for it.
But I want you to know, if I see someone with this card, I'm going to make fun of them, and they'll probably be really mad at me.
But have fun with that 10% off Marvel. Marvel.com deal
super,
that you're getting.
Super, super stupid weird.
So, but I do want to say that while this is really, and I am horrible with credit cards, so I don't have any because I am that person that should
look at
have
you being
cards.
Fiscally responsible.
Yeah. It's because I was fiscally irresponsible for a very long time.
So you used it as a magical goodies creator, is what you're saying?
Yes, exactly. When college students should not have credit cards.
Or if you do have one, it should be a very low limit.
Yeah.
It's your emergency card, like the $300 cards right. That they have out there. Those are great. Get yourself a student card with $300, build a credit line. You can't get yourself in too much trouble for $300.
No.
You can with like 10 grand.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. So.
We've all been there. I was a stupid child too. My God, did I spend some money on random shit. But I have a lot of cool DVDs to show for it.
You guys can't see the thumbs up he's doing right now, but it's amazing.
I really wish there was a video for that.
But how mainstream is this comic culture now that we can get our own credit cards?
That is all right, I
We're
guess.
We're now on the predatory bracket.
Yes.
We're right up there with sports fans there and are a lot... animal lovers.
Yeah. Yeah, there are a lot of sports credit cards, like the NFL card and all those too. So they really do a lot of targeted marketing. I've seen Star Wars cards out there.
I'm sure there's, I think there's Disney ones.
Yep, there are. There's Disney debit cards and credit cards. So I'm surprised that that didn't fall under the same category with Disney, since they own Marvel and there's not like in that same agreement. But hey, whatever.
That also could be a reason why there's a credit card coming out now, because they are under Disney.
That's possible.
So who knows if it would have happened otherwise, but...
Yeah, Disney, bleed that stone for every dollar it's worth.
Don't do it, is what we're saying. Unless you really want to, but then fuck you.
Yeah, we'll laugh at you.
Yes.
We're all gonna laugh at you!
Okay. So, we've done credit cards. I mean, what else do we got? There wasn't a whole lot of news this week.
This is a pretty light week. That new Spider-Man movie has a title.
Yes.
Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yes.
Which doesn't make sense.
I mean, so I read over the article, and it had something to do with they're playing to the fact that he's a younger Spider-Man.
Going Ultimate Spider-Man with this, I imagine. Yeah.
So is he going to Homecoming? Is that the whole premise of the movie?
God, I wish they just did a movie like that, where it was just 2 hours of him being a teenager and not actually doing anything superhero. Just to completely mindfuck everyone that went to that movie. They came out like, what the hell did I just see?
It was a teenage rom-com.
He was popping pimples and doing regular teenage stuff. He's not a superhero.
Awkwardly asking girls to the dance and getting rejected. Yes.
Then really? Climbing buildings in sorrow and weeping, crying like an emo kid off the side of a building.
They've already done emo Spider-Man. I don't think they're going to tap that well again.
Yeah.
So our hope would have been Homecoming would have meant coming home.
To actual, like, under the Marvel Disney, but no.
No. Although it does say Marvel Sony project, so.
Maybe the combo. I mean, I know Sony still owns film rights, but hopefully Marvel has a little bit of say so they don't make Spider-Man 3 again, the worst movie in the history of superhero movies. I think that's even worse than the 1980s Punisher movie with Dolph Lundgren. That's right, I went there. God, that movie. They both suck.
They did. Almost as bad as any Fantastic Four movie. But I think the deal with getting to use Spider-Man in Civil War was that then Marvel would go and help them write their script for their next Spider-Man movie.
Oh, good. Because Amazing Spider-Man 1 and 2 weren't good. So
they were okay.
I didn't like them that much.
I liked Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. More so than Tobey Maguire as Spider-Man.
Yeah, Tobey Maguire was awkward.
Yeah, which Peter Parker's awkward, but...
Yeah, he is.
It's just, I don't think they found the right combination yet of... Because Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man was funny and not really super awkward.
And Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was super awkward and tried to be funny, but really sucked at it.
So they haven't found that combination that makes Spider-Man awesome. Is he's awkward and nerdy, but he's also funny and kind of...
Seeing the Civil War trailer with him, you know, you hope with adding the expression to his eyes and all that, that's going to kind of help, because that's been something missing from the last couple Spider-Mans with the awkward masks. I mean, I know they're Spider-Man, but you really need facial expressions. And when they did it in Deadpool with his facial expressions, even through the mask with his eyes, you just see, it's so much funnier for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, you can tell what the character's feeling better, which in a movie you need.
You do, because you just don't want some dead face just straight telling jokes and going, I have no reaction to whether he's serious or not.
There's very few people that could pull it off. And even at that point, so you had Carl Urban and Judge Dredd, but you could still see half of his face.
Even if it was just turned in a permanent scowl downwards.
Very important. And then Rorschach in Watchmen, I thought was very effective, but his mask moves.
And he's always just crazy.
Yes. So
he doesn't tell jokes, he just kills people.
You know, he's no comedian. So Spider-Man Homecoming, it'll be interesting to see what the fuck that means.
Yes.
It's going to be another terrible, terrible...
disaster of a movie.
Yes.
They make me sad sometimes. Hey, speaking of terrible things coming out with movies, let's talk a little bit about Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, so Scarlett Johansson's in this movie, from what I understand.
Yeah, how does that make you feel?
I mean, you know, because apparently there's no Asian actresses that are good out there.
Thanks, Hollywood. Let's whitewash a little bit more.
So... The crazy thing about this article that we looked at, though, was there are testing CGI technology to make her look more Asian.
This has to be, like, the most offensive thing to anyone Asian, like, ever.
It's like putting somebody in blackface.
It is.
It really is.
I didn't even think about it that way, but it really is.
It's like the modern version of being like, oh, well, Asian actresses aren't good, so we'll just get a white girl.
And we'll just Asian her up yeah. with a computer. Like, seriously? You don't think that's gonna backfire or really upset an entire culture?
Right.
That you've taken this story from that they made?
It's in one of their most successful
animes
ever. I mean, anime's huge in the United States, and it has been for a while, but Ghost in the Shell has been around for forever, even before the huge anime boom. I mean, I could see them casting they're making an American movie. I could see them casting an American actress, but you know what? Man up and fucking just go with it. If you're going to train wreck this movie, train wreck it all the way. Don't try and fix it by giving her Asian features or something.
Pretty much like every culture taking something and making it their own, like white Jesus.
Yeah.
Jesus was not a white guy. Also like Korean Jesus. Jesus was not obviously Korean, he was Middle Eastern. But no, we don't want terrorist Jesus out there, because clearly that's what he would be if he was slightly brown. So.
Yeah, he did have
most offensive podcast ever. Yes.
We're just trying to make everybody angry.
We're equal opportunity haters today. Seriously, though, why is it so hard to find an Asian actress to play an Asian character?
It's not. There are many, many amazing Asian actresses out there. Many. They make movies from Japan and China are awesome. If nobody's watched movies from these countries, you should slap yourself in the face. Because they're some of the best movies that are being made right now. And they have a wealth of talent to choose from.
So just jump on that bandwagon, yeah. Hollywood.
Scarlett Johansson. I mean, I like her. She doesn't need to be in everything, though.
Well, you know, they're probably just trying to piggyback off, like, Black Widow or something of that nature.
Anything that she's been in. I mean, she's a good actress. So she'll act the hell out of it, but...
Is it really necessary to make her an Asian character?
No.
No, it isn't.
No.
So, way to go, Hollywood. You fucked up again.
Yes. And, you know, it's anime, so it's from Japan. So, yes, they're based on Asian... They're probably all meant to be Asian characters, but anime is so ambiguous. You don't even have to, like... They're anime Asian, so they could be any race, really.
But in anime, when you draw an American person, they have a big nose and obnoxious voice. So that's... not a lot of big-nosed, obnoxious people in Ghost in the Shell, so...
That's true.
Hey, whatever.
Okay, I see your point.
I know.
Oh, sigh. Yes.
Hollywood.
So, I know, they really fuck everything up.
They do. Think like Deadpool. I mean, it was great, but they thought it was going
to
be terrible.
Yes. They just need to... I think really what it is they just need to trust their source material. And stop thinking that the American audience is stupid, which, okay, I worked at a video store. Yes, a majority of the American movie-watching audience is stupid.
That's why we have 4 Sharknados.
That's why anytime a foreign movie came out that wasn't in English, I heard at least 20 people complain that movies made in America should be in American. And I had to explain to them that American is not a language.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'm sure Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon really made people happy when they rented that.
Yeah. They hated that one. Pan's Labyrinth, another one. People didn't understand why it was in Spanish, and I had to explain to them it was made in Spain.
Pan's Labyrinth is awesome. Those people fucking suck.
Yeah. Yeah, most of them did. So I get it. I get movie studios underestimating their audience, but I don't think people who are going to see Ghost in the Shell are... expecting everybody to be white, you know.
No.
I think they understand that it was an anime first, so.
Yeah, I wish I worked in a video store so I could just tell people they were stupid.
That's... Yeah, you have to work in a cool video store to be able to tell people that, and I did work in a cool video store, but not the kind where you could just tell people they were stupid. You found workarounds, though, like very nicely explaining to them, like, American wasn't a language. And then
you have to tell people they're stupid in ways that they're too dumb to realize. Right. Is generally, because I do that sometimes, too.
We won't say where he works.
But. No, we will not talk about that. But you can really say, but this is why.
Yeah.
And in a way that they're just like, oh.
Yeah.
And basically accuse them of being morons.
I liked to use the stare. Like, you say something very matter-of-factly and you just stare at them.
Yes. I also, one of my other favorite ones is when they say something so dumb and you just like recoil your head and look and just stare them down. And just like, that is the dumbest thing I've ever said. But you don't have to say anything so they can't get offended. You're just like, you are crazy.
Yes. Yes. So, tips on how to be mean to people without actually being mean to people.
When I worked at GameStop, I was like actually mean to people though, because
you can get away with that.
You can get away with murder there. Oh, no one gives a shit.
It's mostly kids that come in there unsupervised, isn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. You are a professional babysitter mm-hmm. for not anywhere near what you should be paid to babysit.
Right.
You think that parents just drop their kids off and go, "All right, I'm going to Target for 2 hours. Have fun playing Madden." And then, no, they don't. They go around and play Chuck the Fucking Game in the air for 2 hours, and you're, like, forced to be, like, this cleanup crew the entire time. God, GameStop is the ultimate birth control. If you ever want to have a child, go into a GameStop in the mall on Saturday and just watch.
Yeah.
It's amazing people watching. On top of all the just disgusting white trash that goes in there.
This is going to be the most offensive Gun Comics we've ever done. Tony's going to be like, "I'm never leaving
Tony's
you guys
like,
alone.
I can't fucking ever let you guys have the control of this again. You've offended 3/4 of our audience."
No, we didn't, because our audience is not white trash or stupid.
Yes.
So we offended 0 of our audience.
Our audience is cool comic book nerds and assorted other people that like comic books and assorted other nuggets of nerdlydom.
True.
And we appreciate you. You are the coolest.
Yes. True story. Don't get a Marvel credit card.
We've offended the finance industry too. I'm trying to think what other cool things happened this week. Defenders starts filming at the end of the year. It's a quick touch. That's cool. I liked. I'm not done with Daredevil season 2 yet, but so far it's been very good.
Yes, it's been amazing. I haven't finished it yet either. I think I have 3.
I think I have 3 or 4 left.
4 more to go. Yeah.
It's been very solid. Jessica Jones was great. Season 1 of Daredevil was great. I'm sure Luke Cage will be very cool as well.
Yes.
I don't know why they put a white guy as Iron Fist. Once again, Hollywood, you suck.
Well, he's been white. He was white in Ultimate Spider-Man.
True.
I can't remember. Danny, I think his name was.
Yeah, is that the one they're going with for this?
Maybe.
Alright, I'll allow it, but... Once again, kind of an Asian dude.
Yeah. You know, I just...
Is Hollywood just scared of Asian people?
I think Hollywood thinks that we just can't get on board with anybody that's not white.
This is like the worst xenophobia ever. I don't understand.
I know. But yeah, I think Iron Fist, because there's been a couple Iron Fists, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not big on that. My kid would know all of it. He fucking loves Iron
Fist. No, that's one comic I've never really read, so I can't be one to speak to it.
Right.
But...
Yeah, but I do know Iron Fist from Ultimate Spider-Man, because I watched the shit out of that cartoon, because it's... The best Spider-Man thing they've ever done on a
even better than the
screen.
Old Spider-Man back in the day.
Yeah, it's so good. It okay. is so they play so much into like history.
Is that on Netflix?
Of Spider-Man. It might be.
Okay.
It might be. It's really good though, and they pull a lot of characters in. But part of his little team that he works with is Iron Fist, and it's the little white boy. I think he was raised in money.
I've been randomly watching Young Justice.
Oh, that's a good one too.
It's not bad.
Yeah, I heard maybe they're going to be rebooting that for
Netflix. Yeah, I think it only went 2 seasons and then got canceled, but I guess it has a pretty decent following. I know the Netflix ratings are really good.
Yeah.
It's been a cool series. I'm not super far into it, but I was like, hey, I'll watch this.
Yeah, I think it was on Disney XD originally, and then they bought Marvel, so they couldn't show DC stuff anymore.
Gotcha, that would make sense.
So that got canceled. So hopefully Netflix does pick it up, because that was a really good one. And you know, the animated shit that they're doing... I mean,
DC on the animated side is amazing. I think they're actually better than Marvel on a lot of that.
Oh,
like all the Batman movies have been great. The Justice League ones. I watched Flashpoint Paradox the other day.
That was
fun.
One. The Wonder Woman one was really good.
Yep.
Yes. The Suicide Squad, the one they did, which is actually, I think it was a Batman one. Arkham. I can't remember what it's called. It came in a cool fucking box though.
I watched that Robin Son of Batman one the other day too. That wasn't too bad. And they're doing Killing Joke.
Yes, which
R-rated. Finally,
it's gonna be R-rated officially. Yes, thank God, because
you can't really soften that story.
No,
it would just not do it justice.
No, it's that is one of the most intense Joker related storylines out
and
there.
And thank God Mark Hamill is back for it because he is the best animated Joker voice.
He is. He does a great job. It's gonna be amazing. This is going to be their first R-rated animated one that they've done. All the other ones, I think, have been either PG or PG-13.
It's great that DC said they could actually do that.
Yes.
Because normally they want to be kid-friendly on a lot of those, at least somewhat. Although, no, wait, Dark Knight Returns one, I think, was R-rated.
I thought those were PG-13.
You might be right, but it was pretty violent.
Because I remember, so this is going to go back to another video store story, but you know, I'm sorry, I worked there for 15 years. So I have a lot of stories, but I always had to remind my staff that just because they were cartoons, they couldn't go in the kids section.
Yeah. Because
they were not for children.
Dark Knight Returns is not a children's story.
No, and there's a couple of them that are like that from DC, and I also had to make sure to inform parents of that as well. Like, this is not for children. It's PG-13. Your six-year-old.
Probably not gonna.
That one that picked it out? Not, probably not gonna, you probably don't, I mean, maybe you do, I don't know.
This sounds like me ruining Grand Theft Auto 5 for six-year-olds back in the day.
Yes.
Always come exactly. Out and be like, I want to buy this. And be like, "Are you? Do you have your ID on you?" And like, I know you don't. You're like 12. And then the parent would come up and I'd be like, you know, you can have sex with hookers and kill them, right?
Yeah.
You film a starlet having butt sex at one point. You want your child to play that? No? Okay. And then the kid would get really mad at me and I'd laugh.
I experienced that when that game came out too. My favorite... Now we're just reminiscing. My favorite video store story was when Grand Theft Auto came out and this little 12-year-old rented it. And then she asked me what kids' movies came out. And it was right after one of the Harry Potters came out. And I was like, well, Harry Potter. And she's like, oh, no, I don't let my child watch those. And I'm like, okay, you're letting him rent Grand Theft Auto 5?
Fucking hookers is fine.
Yeah,
but
because Harry Potter's the occult. Yes. So realistic acts of rape and...
Torture,
and breaking rules and all that stuff. Cool. I mean, it's not realistic. It's a fucking video game. But, point being, you can do that shit in real life.
I'm not going to go cast a spell and play Quidditch in real life with a flying on my broom. Although there is actually Quidditch, I guess, where you run around holding a broom between your legs.
That is true. So, you know, she wants her kid to learn from realistic examples, I guess. But anyway, I digress. That had absolutely nothing to do with anything. At all. It was just interesting.
I do have a super random thing I want to touch on real quick.
Okay.
When I was babysitting yesterday, I was flipping through the channels, and ESPN2 was showing a Heroes of the Dorm tournament from eSports.
Oh, okay.
I was just like, I can't believe ESPN is actually showing this. I know they're trying to get into that a little bit more since it's becoming more mainstream.
Right.
But I was just like, holy shit, they have like commentators and everything. This is crazy. And it was actually on TV.
What is it called?
It was Heroes of the Dorm. They had a tournament between a bunch of different colleges playing Heroes of the Storm, the Blizzard game.
Similar
like League of Legends and those. But they actually had it televised showing like matches, and I was pretty amazed. And apparently there's one coming up. They're actually going to show between, I think, Michigan State and Ohio State playing League of Legends on Monday on ESPN. So that's another really big one.
Interesting.
Yeah.
How exciting is that to watch?
Not my first thing I want to actually watch. More fun to play. But, I mean, it's cool that that is becoming legitimized in the world, that you can actually, like, have people just being, like, there's money in it. I mean, millions and millions of dollar tournaments, and having people, cause there's huge audiences that actually do want to watch it. It may not be my thing to watch.
Right.
But the fact that you can actually tune in and that is available for you is great, since it's never really been on TV before.
Interesting.
So... Yeah.
So ESPN2 trying to save themselves from ruin by.
They also do wrestling highlights on ESPN now, so they really jumped the shark. Just
like
trying to get audience.
WWE.
Yes.
Wrestling highlights.
Oh yeah, them and ESPN and WWE have a partnership now.
Oh okay.
So, yeah.
Does that mean they're going to start airing stuff on ESPN?
I don't. They do have like highlights on SportsCenter.
Oh really?
Wrestling, which is amazing and random, but yeah.
Okay, so I guess. ESPN used to be just for jocks. Now it's jocks and nerds.
Well, I mean, once fantasy football happened, it's Dungeons and Dragons for
it's
jocks. So.
It's true. I always make fun of all of the people I know in those, which you are included.
Yeah, it's fine. You can make fun of me if you want. I have no shame. I'll play real D&D.
But you also play real D&D, so you're cool. I'm just more so like the people who are like, nerds. By the way, I can't even... I don't even know the terms for fantasy football, but then they go off on this whole...
I got 3 touchdowns and 39 yeah. points today. I gotta put my running back in there.
There, exactly.
Now I'm offending fantasy sport players, too. So.
But whatever, you play it, so...
I do.
You can make fun of yourself.
Make fun of myself, because yeah. I often have, like, big debates with people over who to start, so...
There you go. All right, so rant's over. This is a very ranty...
It's all right, that's fun sometimes. So.
But we do have booze in a book this week.
Yes, I, this week picked up Moon Knight number 1, since apparently they are rebooting it, which is cool, because there hasn't been a Moon Knight comic in a little bit. Little Jeff Lemire is the writer on it, so you know it's going to be good.
Oh, I love Jeff Lemire.
Yes, Greg Smallwood's the artist, color artist is Jordi Belair.
Ooh, Jordi does great colors.
Yes, very, very cool art style in this book.
Oh, yeah. See, that's... Okay, so... Oh, and it switches.
Yes, it
does. So what's the difference between...
The difference is when he's in, like, his dream realm talking to his, like, god that brought him back to life.
Okay.
Versus him being in the mental institution, which he isn't sure if it's real or not. And it kind of flashes back and forth there.
Okay. Oh, that is real good.
Yes.
So so when he's in his like dream state, it's more of like that scratchier.
Yes, and when he's
style.
In the supposed real world, it's not.
Okay.
But
it's more clean.
Yes, very
shadows.
Very cool book because you don't know whether he's actually crazy or not. Even though everyone knows Moon Knight's actually like a crazy character, but
right.
he's in a mental institution and he's trying to figure out if he's held prisoner by like another god or not.
All right.
So I'm down with this as a reboot. I never read a lot of Moon Knight back in the day, but Jeff Lemire, I saw it, and I'm like, yep.
You can't go wrong with anything that he writes. He's hot right now.
He is.
So.
He's so hot right now.
He's so hot right now.
So I figured since it's Moon Knight, we could pair this with something that is near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
Having lived in Tennessee for a while, I figured a shot of straight white lightning, some old smoky Tennessee moonshine from down in Gatlinburg would be perfect.
Okay.
It's delicious. If you can handle unoaked whiskey that tastes like death, you just have to accept the fact that it's going to kick you right in the face like this book does. Tastes terrible, but in a good way. I don't know. Have you ever had moonshine, Lynn?
I have had. I've had store-bought moonshine, and mm-hmm. I've had homemade moonshine.
Okay.
I do enjoy the stuff that they make professionally way more than my friends.
Yeah, you don't
moonshine.
Know what your quality is on a homemade moonshine. No. It could blind you. You're not really sure.
Right.
But...
And that's, I mean, legitimately, it could blind you.
Yeah, if you don't cut the methanol off the beginning of your run, you could poison yourself.
Yes.
It used to happen with bathtub gin way back in the day.
Right.
People would go blind
Which
because
they
would.
Which is why it was illegal.
Yeah. Still illegal. One, because they want the tax money, ATF.
Right.
And two, because yes, you could kill yourself or do something horrible to someone else with it. So that is why you can't make legal moonshine, I guess, even though people do.
Oh, yeah. All
but,
the time.
But yeah, Old Smoky Tennessee Moonshine, Gatlinburg, they have a tasting room right in tourist trappy Gatlinburg, so you can go
nice.
In, they'll give you 3 different types.
Okay.
Last time I went there, it might be more now, but it's pretty good for moonshine. They have like a cool little hollow that you can go into and do some shots and then watch your face turn. Like, oh, this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's rough.
That's funny.
But they have, yeah, like 15 different varieties now. I bought some moonshine cherries last time I was down there.
Okay, like
cherries soaked in moonshine. And you get a little cherry flavor, and then it kicks you in the face, and you want to puke it up.
Nice.
So, it's great.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was a nice pairing.
Moon Knight and Moonshine.
Moon Knight, Moonshine, White Lightning. He's white, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a match made in, Egypt.
Drink enough moonshine, you won't know whether you're in a mental institution or not either.
It's true. You can blind yourself and go crazy. So, yeah.
All right. Well, good pairing.
I know.
So, I guess that does it for us for today.
Do you have any final thoughts, Linz?
It's really nice outside, so go the fuck outside and enjoy nature because it might snow tomorrow.
That's true. It is Michigan.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Stay thirsty.